Pope Benedict XVI reminded everyone the day that he was installed as Pope that we are not simply the mindless product of evolution that happens to be an accident in this world. That every human being who exists is here because we are willed by God into existence. That we are here on purpose. And that every one of us has a purpose in existence. In the opening prayer for Mass today, we prayed, "May your grace, O Lord, at all times go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out good works." And that's what we're created for. That's why God puts us here. It's to carry out good works. But we also have to be determined to do what's right, to do what's good, to will the good, and to avoid evil. And that's why we need God's grace. Grace, of course, is the very life of God dwelling in us. We have two kinds of grace. We have the actual grace, which kind of keeps us alive. God wills us into being. We're here. He's always loving us, thinking of us. And so because of that, we live. We exist. But then we have the sanctifying grace, the sanctifying grace which changes us and makes us more and more like Christ, which perfects us in charity, perfects us in love, perfects us in holiness. And that's kind of the bottom line of creation, that every one of us here exists to be saints, that is, to be holy and blameless in the sight of God, always living the fullness of the Christian life, to enjoy what God promises through Isaiah. This mountain that he speaks of course, is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom, where God, the Lord of hosts, provides for all peoples. He'll destroy the veil that veils us, that is, the veil of ignorance, the veil of division that keeps us from truly seeing God as he is and being united to him for eternity. He destroys the veil that's woven over all peoples, which comes from death, really. Death comes from sin. Sin is what separates, and sin keeps us from truly loving and seeing God. That's it. Death now brings us into God's presence, but it begins in baptism. We die to sin, die to the old way of life, and live that new life in Christ. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what brings us joy. That's the thing that keeps us going when times look bad, when things look bleak. That God will wipe away every tear from our face because we realize that even though this world cannot give us everything, even though the people in this world will not give us everything, God will always be there giving us exactly what we need when we need it. Not what we want when we want it, but what we need when we need it. For that reason, we can say, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us." Let us rejoice and be glad that God has saved us. By the power of his grace, God produces the works of our hands. When you and I live in cooperation with God, magnificent things happen. And all this is done by the power of God's grace. It's a calling that we have, as I said, and a call needs a response. We respond to God in faith, saying, "Lord, your servant is listening. Speak. Here I am. Do with me as you will." We offer ourselves to God in faith, and with hard work, we accept our responsibility in building up the kingdom of God. We can't live our lives expecting that others will do things for us all the time. We can't expect that we're owed anything from anybody. We're here to serve, to do God's will, to be responsible to God, responsible to one another, responsible in carrying out our Christian duties. God can, and certainly at times he does for us, the things that are impossible for ourselves, like salvation, for instance. But far more often than not, God doesn't always do things for us. However, he will do things with us. He'll do things with us and for us. But we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to what we're doing. Understand that this call to holiness, this call to union with Christ, takes an act of the will. We have to want to do it and be conscious and aware of what we're doing all the time, to be attentive, seeking God in every place and every time, and seeking God in all things. The most mundane things that you and I do every day, our household tasks, our things at work, dealing with the kids and the family, or even things at work itself, wherever we find ourselves, it's always seeing the opportunity to love and serve God. And sometimes those are the most difficult circumstances. It's easy for us to come and love God in here in church because there's nothing else to get in our way. It's us and Him. That's pretty much it. But when we leave these doors and go out into the world, it's a whole different atmosphere. But we have to carry what we receive here out there with us to remind ourselves that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves. Be attentive, be aware, to seek God wherever you are. Church, home, work, school, wherever. Seek Him in all things and listen. Listen to His voice. Sometimes we don't always pay attention and we find ourselves getting into a little bit of trouble. Yesterday, for example, I was asked to be one of the judges for the gumbo contest at the fall festival over in Pine Prairie. So I'm thinking about several things, and yes, gumbo being the first thing on the list. And as I'm driving into Pine Prairie, I was given a police escort, but not the usual kind, the kind where they're behind you with the lights going on. So a block away from the church, I pull over, and there I was doing, as he said, 52 and a 45. Again, my fault for not paying attention. Thankfully, the officer let me go with a warning, but it made me think about this. You know, God does the same thing. Okay, we find ourselves mindlessly going through life and making mistakes, and God has to send us warnings to remind us to what? Pay attention, to be attentive, seek God, seek what you're doing, know what you're doing. And a couple Sundays ago, we talked about following the rules, right? Not because the rules are effective in and of themselves, but God gives us rules, He gives us commandments for us to live a holy life. So we know our boundaries, where we find the fullness of life. We know that God, as I said, will do things for us and with us, but He wants us to be responsible. Always be responsible. Consciously choosing, consciously acting through our will. Be mindful and not go through all the mindless routines of life. That's how St. Paul says we learn how to live truly in happiness and joy. I know he says how to live in humble circumstances without a whole lot. I also know how to live in abundance. In humble circumstances, depending entirely on God, and living in abundance with thanksgiving to God. And that's the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of realizing that we're not attached to this world. We must be attached only to God, knowing that He is always there, His love is perfect and complete, and as He says, God will supply whatever you need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's in the times that we feel our lowest that God will certainly be there, and we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. So as we come together today for this great worship, for this receiving of the word of Christ, to receive the body of Christ, let's think about what we're going to be told right before communion. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the wedding feast of the Lamb. The gospel was all about that. It's about union with Christ. It begins in baptism. We receive the Blessed Eucharist to unite us to Christ here, but to bring us that eternal union, the eternal banquet, where the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Now, you and I are created by God for God. We are created in time, but created for eternity. And that throughout our lives here on earth, we're going to seek and thirst and be parched for God. Sometimes we find all kinds of substitutes leaving us dissatisfied or even sickened. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things who strengthens us. And He calls us to union with Himself in sacraments, in life, in grace. But to enter that feast, we must have that garment of holiness, the wedding garment of salvation. It's by the sacrifice of Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, that we are made clean and washed pure. We must cast off the works of darkness consciously and choose the armor of light to do away with sin and to live in grace. As St. Paul says, may the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we may know what is our hope, our destiny, the hope that belongs to our call, fulfillment of life in the Lord Jesus, eternal union with him, to be saints, and to glory in our union with Christ forever, as he comes to save you and me.